Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Ice cream. Yeah, ice cream. You know, in the summer of 1790, way back when, George Washington reportedly paid $200 for ice cream. That's pretty impressive. It's a little less expensive now, but no less delicious. And we talk ice cream today. We taste some ice cream. We take your calls on ice cream. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Danny Mazursky, the founder of the SoCo Creamery, which started in 2005. Also joined by Matt Scott, who started as a part-time delivery driver and worked his way up to director of brand integrity and expert on flavors. We're going to find out what brand integrity is coming up on the program. And also a special guest that we will talk to in a little bit. And we'll tell you why this special guest is here. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Danny Mazursky and Matt Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Always like ice cream shows. Mm. Always fun on a Friday to talk about ice cream. And boy, you brought ice cream. Mm-hmm. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And are these all different too? 10, 11, 12, 13 ice creams. That is crazy, man. That is crazy. I will be in a coma by the end of this program, as well as many of the listeners. Well, maybe not. So you started in 2005, and was it just something that you adored and you had to try it yourself, or was it you knew that this would be a good business model?
No, passion for food.
Yeah.
Started there, and actually started in 1989 with my family, and in 2005 founded SoCo Creamery. So
how did you get the itch to...
Just a real passion
for money, though.
Food and whatnot. I grew up in the Southwest,
right,
where the local regional sourcing has always been in my blood and whatnot. So really just applied that passion to ice cream.
But
so.
You come from a broadcasting family.
Yeah. Well,
did Dad say, well, what are you doing?
It's all entertainment. Right.
I suppose.
Yeah, so,
well, let's see. Let's list what we have here today. Matt Scott, you're the director of brand integrity. What do we have here today?
So we have a little bit of everything. We have a couple flavors that feature our Berkshire collaborations, which are partnerships with other local Berkshire producers.
Okay.
We have a lavender blueberry honey.
Oh yeah.
Which features local blueberries, a maple bacon with local maple syrup. Of
really,
course.
You made bacon ice cream.
Yeah,
really. You knew that I like bacon, yeah, so thank you for that. I appreciate that.
We also brought a vanilla, a mission fig, and three of our single origin coffee series ice creams, which we recently released, along with an Alfonso mango sorbet, our staple dirty chocolate, salted caramel featuring our own handmade caramel. Mm. And we also have a garden mint chip with local mint.
Wow.
Lemon poppy ice cream and a spiced chocolate we call Mexicali.
Holy mackerel, that's amazing. And you mentioned these collaborations you've done. And that brings us to our special guest here today, who's also no stranger to this program, Flavio Lichtenthal. And you know what? The last time he was on, I had to go in the back room and just practice saying his name like 15 times. It's Flavio Lichtenthal of the Number 6 Depot, maker of phenomenal coffee. And you guys have teamed up on some interesting flavors here. Anybody want to explain what the flavors are?
Flavio, I think you...
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, sure, man. Nice to have you back.
Great to be here again, especially with these guys, Danny and Matt, who are amazing ice cream makers. And so we had the honor of being able to use some of our coffees to create this single origin series, which is unique. As far as we know, there's obviously been lots of coffee ice cream through the years, but to focus on single origins and be able to match great ice cream makers with great ice cream origins has been a treat.
So you have some, what do we have here? What are the flavors? Sumatra Mandhaling?
That's a Sumatra Mandhaling.
Okay, and we have...
From Indonesia, there's a Brazil Oberon from South America. And then there's an amazing coffee from Bali, also in Indonesia, Bali Blue Moon.
Okay, now, to those with a less mm-hmm. refined taste, can you tell the difference between the three?
Absolutely.
we're going to test that because the less refined taste is sitting in front of you right now. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. The phone lines are loaded, so we should take some calls in a minute. This is an email, came in. I think Jamie also emailed the last time we did an ice cream show. Why is it so hard to find pistachio ices or ice cream? Is it a local New England and upstate New York prejudice? It's hard to understand considering the ethnic diversity. Any recommendations that are not dyed green?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, and I've heard it a few times over the years. So in the ice cream industry, typically pistachio ice creams are dyed green, and they're actually flavored with predominantly almond oil. So most consumers confuse the taste of almond oil with pistachios.
Okay.
And the only reason why a lot of people do not make a pure pistachio ice cream is because it's cost prohibitive, and the market fluctuates a lot for the cost of pistachios. Most of them are imported. We actually do make a pistachio product, which is pure pistachio, and it's quite delicious and far removed from the majority of pistachio.
And I'm guessing we're not going to see any green dye in it.
No. Not in any of our
products. In fact, all the colors are rather muted here. So I'm guessing, don't know this to be a fact, you're not artificially coloring this.
It's a very, very pure product.
Yeah. So I have a question for you, Flavio, and for you guys. When you make coffee ice cream, are you brewing the coffee and putting it in, or are you just grinding up the beans? How do we do that?
It's actually typically in the ice cream industry, coffee ice creams are made with spray dried coffee and they can just be dissolved in water. It's quite simple. But if you want to make a coffee ice cream using real ground coffee, it becomes more complicated. And it's more of we kind of had to start with Flavio's expertise on coffee and develop our very own system of extraction, which is similar to a brew.
Was it a tough process?
Incredibly so.
Really?
Yeah, very, very frustrating.
How many failed attempts did we have before we came down with the right process?
I threw a lot of ice cream.
Really?
Freezer's full.
And that's where the brand integrity comes into play, huh? What is brand integrity exactly?
It's just, my job is to make sure that the products that we produce accurately represent our brand and just maintaining a high standard of quality.
Okay. Well, let's get to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Richard in Queensbury. You're first, Richard.
Okay. Hi. Does anybody make ice cream without added sugar, just using fruit juices and so on?
So that's another question that we get a lot. So sugar-free ice cream does exist out there. However, sugar plays a really important role in the texture of ice cream. So you have to have a certain Brix reading or a certain sugar content.
All right, what's a Brix reading?
So it's the amount of dissolved sugar or sweetness. So if you're low on the Brix end, it ends up like mashed potatoes. If you're high, it ends up like syrup. So sugar is very important in the chemistry of a finished ice cream. So yes, there are sugar-free ice creams out there, and they use secondary sweeteners, but it's a very complicated process.
Binders, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of chemistry involved.
Yeah.
So as a smaller producer, we are not necessarily interested in at this time in sugar-free ice cream.
Where do you get that stuff?
What, sugar-free ice cream?
Yes.
I think there's some.
Any supermarket.
Yeah, at retail stores, I believe. I don't know any brands.
Well, thank you, Richard. We appreciate it. One of the things that's great about the calls, they talk and I eat. And I just tried the Sumatra. It tastes like a good cup of coffee. It's really delicious.
Close to the bean.
Yeah.
Drink some water in between the other two, though.
Yeah.
So you get a real true differentiation.
Well, you'll know I'm about to try something else when we go to the phones. Let's go to the phones. Chuck in Hudson. Chuck, you're on.
How you doing?
Good.
I was wondering if your friend makes garlic ice cream.
I personally have never made garlic ice cream.
Is there such a thing?
Of course.
Yeah, for sure.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, because there's a garlic festival in Saugerties.
Yep, and somebody will be there. At least one person with garlic ice cream, I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay.
We do a fabulous ginger ice cream, and then when people try that, they always ask about garlic.
Okay.
I guess garlic and ginger.
Do you make a steak and cheese ice cream?
We do the maple bacon.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you, Chuck. We appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. Okay. So I had the Sumatra. I'm going to try the Brazil next. And so tell me, Flavio, about the different flavor profile as far as the coffee goes. Mm. So from the Sumatra to the Brazil, what's the difference?
So the Sumatra, you'll get a lot more earthy, woodsy notes.
Yeah.
Whereas the Brazil, there'll be more nutty, cocoa-y notes. Which may be fairly present in the Sumatra as well. When you move on to the Bali, you'll have a little more of a fruit that comes from the natural processing of the coffee cherry. that is dried with the pulp of the fruit on. So the valley is known. I know you're going to get to that one eventually, but the valley, you'll notice a lot more fruity notes. I would say, to make it simple, the Sumatra is really earthy, very low-noted acidity, and the Brazil, a little more nutty, more cocoa-y, more conventional
coffee. Did you taste the difference?
I mean, to me, the Sumatra tastes more like classic coffee, the Brazil. And you're right. I taste the cocoa notes in the Brazil. So are you putting actual chocolate in this?
No, there's no chocolate.
Wow, you almost get a chocolate taste to that. Yeah. It's pretty good.
That was one of the things that I was overwhelmed by when we initially did this project, was just how much of the chocolatey notes come through in coffee ice cream.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing stuff. And the texture. We'll talk about the texture in a minute, because as I learned from doing this program, one of the huge differences between commercially made large-scale ice cream operations and real true gourmet ice cream is the density and the texture. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But right now it's break time. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted, dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harolds.com. H. House & Son True Value Hardware and Just Ask Rentals, Woodstock. Locally owned since 1932, featuring Benjamin Moore paints, tools, and materials for home maintenance. Behind every project is a true value. HHoused.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts. A family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. The Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people. nature.org/Adirondacks. And Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5. Featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer, blueherondining.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday, don't you know? It's ice cream. And we talk with Danny Mazursky and Matt Scott of SoCo Creamery. And so we've also been tasting the special line you guys are doing with Number 6 Depot, and Flavio is here from Number 6 Depot. So we have Sumatra, Brazil, and Bali Blue Moon, and there is such an amazing difference between all three of these. It's amazing. So Sumatra has kind of a classic coffee ice cream taste, although much better and silkier, and just, you could tell it's high quality. Brazil almost has a slightly chocolatey taste, even though there's no chocolate in it. And then the Bali Blue is something else, again, different. You mentioned, Flavio, that there's, you know, why does it have a fruity taste? It's not fruity, but it's got just a little bit, you can say, there's some fruit there.
Coffee is a fruit.
Well, coffee, a lot of people may not know this, but when it's harvested, it looks like a bright red cherry.
Yeah.
And usually the cherry, the pulp of the fruit will get stripped before the bean is dried. But there's a natural process that the Bali uses, which is the pulp is left on the bean to dry in the sun, so the bean itself acquires incredible fruity notes from the pulp, which comes through in the again, these guys made an amazing job of keeping the authenticity of the flavor,
the brand integrity, if you will.
The brand integrity.
And so, which is the biggest seller of the three?
Well, we released the Bali Blue Moon as a food service.
Yeah.
Bulk size, so restaurants can carry it.
Why did you choose that one for that?
I think we selected it because it has the broadest appeal, or at least that's what the consensus was.
See, I would think Brazil would have the broadest appeal.
We will always have one of these and others available. So
how big of an operation is SoCo? How many people are working there? Just you? Do you toil in the back with a bathtub full
of
ice
cream? There's about five of us.
Really? And that's it? And you crank out all this stuff.
But we do have a retail location on Railroad Street in Great Barrington, and that store has about 15 people.
Wow.
In the height of summer. So, but yeah, we have a core group. So about five of us.
It's a lot of long hours, I'm guessing.
Long hours and a lot of tasting.
Well, which, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Kathy in Durham. Kathy, you're on.
Yeah, hi. We make ice cream about once a year, and we've done it in both a hand crank and an electric maker, and the taste is wonderful. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes. Don't mind me having some ice cream. Go ahead.
Okay, so the taste is great. The consistency is wonderful, but my question is, we get this waxy kind of like coating on the in the mouth, tongue, you know, and roof of the mouth, and it's like, where is this coming from when we're only using milk or cream and fruit?
Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good.
No.
Unless you like that.
No, we don't.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like it's from the butter fat, just coating your mouth. You're going probably too far maybe when you're... Do you cook it? Do you make like a custard on the stovetop, or is it a cold process?
It's usually a cold process. I think the different recipes I have had you cook the peaches, for instance. Actually, we skipped last year, so I can't remember exactly. But
it was a good peach year last year.
But maybe it is the butter fat. So your thought is that maybe we're processing it too much to make it buttery?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, that's not being very definitive, Danny.
Mm-hmm. There's... Yeah, it's lots of variables.
Yeah, so. It's amazing how technical the formulation of ice cream mix is in regard to texture and mouthfeel and melt profile. So it sounds like you may be in a bad spot on the butterfat scale, perhaps too high.
Okay. All right. So would using, say, non-fat milk be a better idea than cream? Sorry, you probably feel like you're giving all your...
No, that's...
No, but it's all a ratio. Because you could use skim milk and heavy cream, or you could use half and half and whole milk. And
All right, so follow the recipe, but maybe don't churn it quite as long.
Exactly.
All right.
Got it.
Yep. Thanks,
all right,
Kathy.
Thanks so much.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Just tried the dirty chocolate. Amazing. And again, the density of this. Now, I assume that you guys throw a lot of numbers around. There's a density scale as well, right?
Yeah, there is. Dirty chocolate in particular feels super dense because it has so much cocoa in it.
It's really good.
A lot of solids.
Yeah. And so what compared to, say, the ice cream you find on a store shelf, Brand X, how much, I assume it's just air?
Yeah.
The difference is air in the product?
Yeah, so the technical industry term is overrun, and it refers to the amount of air relative to the amount of dairy. So overrun actually goes up to 200%, so your cheaper ice creams, your gallons, and things of that nature are usually going to be 100 or above, whereas our pints are typically around 45 to 50.
So you're putting much more stuff in it.
Yeah, less
more
air.
More stuff, less air. And super high quality ingredients.
Yeah. So the chocolate,
the butter fat is a big factor in that.
Okay. So the chocolate. What kind of chocolate are you using? What kind of cocoa are you using in this? Or do you not want to say?
So
secrets.
All right. You know what? You come on the show. You don't give
there's
any
lots
information.
There's lots of several different kinds.
So it's actually dirty chocolate is all of our ice creams, all of our flavorings, the bases we make by hand. They're proprietary and unique to us. So dirty chocolate is an example of just one of the amazing flavors that we craft by hand, where it's a ganache of sorts, featuring various cocoa products.
Okay, fair enough.
Think fudge truffle. Think of the candy.
It definitely has that taste.
That's what we describe it. And
we're joined today by Danny Mazursky and Matt Scott of SoCo Creamery, very secretive fellows who make ice cream. Let's go back to the phones. Christian on the Mass Pike. Christian, you're on.
Hi guys, how are you?
Good.
I'm hoping you can settle a little ongoing debate my girlfriend and I have had. There's one of those tiny little soft serve shacks near us that we like to go to, and she swears, you know, it's the best soft serve she's ever had. And for me, soft serve is just something I kind of, you know, whenever I want to load up on cream and sugar, that's my go-to.
Yeah.
But is there such a thing as a better quality soft serve?
Absolutely.
Love that question, by the way.
Definitely.
Because some people really love their soft serve. There's no doubt.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. There's a whole culture around it. Is it custard or is it soft serve ice cream?
I think it's just regular soft serve.
So you can tell the difference. If, I mean, these guys are, these guys are not going to tell you anything, Christian.
I mean, yeah, there's varying qualities for sure. I go to a place in particular that makes a soft serve custard, and I go there on a weekly basis. It has a lot of egg in it, and it's just super rich and velvety, and I am a sucker for it for sure.
Wow.
Okay, I'll have to look out for that. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. He's right, though. We went on vacation for a couple weeks up in Maine, and there's a nice old ice cream place up there. People lined up for their various flavors of hard ice cream. Also a long line for the soft ice cream. And to me, it's just, you just mix it up, right? And,
well, yeah, but soft serve, you can, again, have the varying butterfat contents into the custards and whatnot that are very... very popular as part of the culture in like the Midwest, where butterfats can be up in the 22% range. Our ice creams are 15-17%, so custard is custard rules in the Midwest, and it's different than a soft serve ice cream, which typically is like a 10% butterfat.
Can I just stop you for a minute? Lavender blueberry. Okay, I'm sure this is some highly secret. You have the recipe in a vault, and there's a guard there. This is really good.
Yep, local blueberries.
Can you tell us anything about it?
Yeah, Matt sourced it all.
So yeah, we get super blue French lavender, courtesy of Harney and Sons in Millerton, New York, and we steep it and we make a concentrate, and then it's mixed with a local blueberry swirl, which I make out of local blueberries, honey, and lemon zest.
So there's tea in this.
No, just lavender that's steeped like tea.
Like a tea.
Yeah, like a tea.
That's really amazing.
Thank you.
Really amazing. All right, back to the phones we go. And Alfonso in Fort Plain, you're on.
Hello, how are you today?
Good.
My name is Alfonso, and my favorite sorbet to make in the summer is mango sorbet.
Oh, boy.
So I figure by now you guys owe me a hefty amount of money in royalty.
Ah, well, you know that they brought that today. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, well, you let me know and then send me the check.
Really? Okay. did they steal that from you, Alfonso?
Yes, they did.
I don't want to.
Obviously.
I don't like that. You know, because these guys are so tight with these secrets that I'm sure they had a spy out there and got it from you.
Yeah, I actually have a question. I also like pistachio, but I'm not sure how you get that color and the consistency. Do you use whole pistachios, or do you grind them all, or half and half? What's the deal?
With our particular pistachio, we just use a 100% pure Italian pistachio paste. So there's no color, no flavor, no anything. It's just,
no flavor?
No added flavor.
Right? I see.
So it's just pistachio paste. But you can also use bits of pistachio and a little less pistachio paste. A lot of people do it differently.
And that'll give it the color? That'll give it that deep, beautiful pistachio green color?
Yeah, if... If you've got deep, if you've got deep pockets and you use enough of it, you'll get a real, real dark
just
color.
Just don't put too much in.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. I love the show. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551. All right, Danny and Matt, here's one that came in via email from Ryan. It says, hi, I went to the Garlic Festival in Saugerties a few years ago with the mission of tasting the garlic ice cream in the front of my mind. I got on the end of the long line and eagerly awaited my first taste. My wife and I bought a cone each and bit into it. As we turned the corner of the booth, there was a large garbage can in front of us, full of cones that were partially eaten. What was the issue with the ice cream? It would seem that the ice cream maker simply took vanilla ice cream and stirred in pre-bottled minced garlic. It was disgusting. What a tragedy. I'm looking forward to having real garlic ice cream one day. Thanks, Ryan, and thanks for mentioning the name of the festival, because I didn't realize you were going to slam it so hard. And, you know, I got to pre-read from now on. So what do you think?
We've never made garlic ice cream, but you'd have to prepare the garlic a certain way. Like, think like candying it.
Yeah.
That's what
I don't think that.
I don't know.
I mean, I love bacon. You could put a pound of bacon in my ice cream. That's fine. Garlic? I don't know. Onion ice cream? You ever do that? No?
I'm sure it's out there.
Okay. All right. Back to the phones we go. Now I'm nauseated. Let's go to Susan in Great Barrington. Susan, you're on.
Hi, let me just first say I know better than to think I can make ice cream as good as SoCo. I live in town and eat it all the time, so my next question isn't going to be about stealing any secrets.
All right, good, because they will not give it up.
But every now and then I make ice cream at home, and I had a request a couple of years ago from an elderly woman who unfortunately isn't with us any longer for orange ice cream, and I tried and tried to make orange ice cream, but could never get a really strong or even adequate orange flavor. I steeped the skins in cream first. I tried all kinds of things. I'm just wondering if there is something you might be able to suggest to make. I don't want orange sorbet, but orange ice cream actually have an orange flavor.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Making citrus ice creams can be a little bit challenging. I would suggest that you use a pure orange oil, which is commercially available, and then use it. So that will give you a good bright essence of citrus. And then if you supplement that with a little fresh orange zest and a little bit of orange juice concentrate, but you don't want to add too much orange juice concentrate, one, because you'll offset the texture, and secondly, you can actually curdle with citrus. So if you start like that and just go incrementally, and I'll tell you beforehand that you only need a few drops of orange oil.
All right, orange oil is derived from?
Orange. So oils are typically extracted using steam. So it'll come from the skin of an orange that's processed with steam.
Yeah, and the oil and the zest.
So it's naturally bitter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you have to add plenty of sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, it's good to know that I don't have to add that can of orange crush that every recipe calls for. I will certainly try that. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks a lot, Susan. Well, actually, that's a great idea. I mean, you're working with Flavio here. Now maybe you get to the major soda, have Mountain Dew ice cream and things like that, right? Mm. No? Knee-high grape? Anything?
It would have to be a natural company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. We're joined today by Danny Mazursky and Matt Scott of SoCo Creamery. And that's right in Great Barrington?
Right in Great Barrington.
You going to expand to have some more locations?
We're looking to, yep. And people could give us a call or whatever if they have questions about that.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah.
So you got you got a capital campaign going? You don't want to talk about
it?
It's all proprietary. It's secret. I understand.
Yep.
But you guys are really, I mean, a lot of secrets in the ice cream business. And, you know, I find that when Flavio's on a program, he's much more open.
Not as many secrets in coffee, I guess.
But I tell you what, the Sumatra is really good. And Jessica Blaustein Marshall, our producer, was in here and tried. I don't think she tried the Brazil, but she tried the Bali. And that's good. So that's your number one seller at this time of the three?
Yeah, we can't seem to keep up with it.
Yeah.
And they're everybody wants it.
So in a typical run, I'm trying to put in perspective the size of the operation. Mm. So in a typical run, say, of the Sumatra, how many gallons will you make at a time?
So our typical yield on our number 6 Depot flavor is as low as 60 pints.
Wow.
Yeah, so it is, in fact, micro-batch, and the actual process is very involved.
How many hours does it take to make a pint?
Well, our process of extraction is pretty labor intensive.
Okay,
now
you say the process of extraction.
Yeah.
It makes it sound very scientific.
It is.
What are we talking about here?
Well, coffee is pretty sensitive. So if you're too high on the temperature scale, you're going to get something that's really bitter. If you let it steep too long, it's going to be bitter and acidic. If you don't get all the grounds out, it's going to be kind of gross as well. So the process, which we developed on our own, took a little fine tuning for sure.
It's a similar process to the lavender, dealing with lavender and tea and herbs. You think steeping.
Yeah, so we also have a fresh mint chip ice cream here
that
I'll have you taste. So,
wow. I don't have enough spoons. Yeah, that's the problem.
So this features mint from Taft Farms in Great Barrington, and it's you steep it just like you would a tea.
Wow.
And so typically when you eat a mint ice cream, you're getting a mint extract that has alcohol in it, and it has this really mentholated taste. But this, which is just steeped mint leaves, has a very herbaceous and garden-like taste.
Wow. And again, no artificial color at all.
No.
You're not seeing green mint ice cream here.
I would suggest close your eyes when you try that flavor.
Okay, well, what I got to do is close my eyes and find another spoon. And maybe my producer is listening.
It's all for you, so.
I can't do that because you know why? As I say, the staff at the end will. I don't want to do double dipping on the ice cream. The staff will get grossed out.
We've got backups for everyone.
Yeah, well, that's really great. And as I said, anybody who brings food for Food Friday, the staff at the end of the program, it's much like putting a ham in a bathtub full of piranha, and they just go crazy, and it's gone in seconds. All right, let's try this. Wow, look at that texture. Wow, that looks delicious. You can really taste the mint.
You didn't close your eyes.
That's all right. I saw it before anyway.
All right.
You know what? You got to make a mojito. Yeah. Mojito ice cream.
We actually, one of my, I particularly am fond of making sorbets, and one of my favorite sorbets to make is, it's a virgin mojito sorbet.
Really?
And we use fresh mint and fresh lime zest, and it is.
You put some rum in there?
virgin mojito.
Come on.
But it's among the most refreshing sorbets I've ever tasted. I really enjoy it.
So, you know, speaking of booze, which I usually do on this program, it's tough to make ice cream with booze, isn't it?
It is. It is for a variety of reasons. It's regulated by
laws. I'm not worried about.
No,
I'm worried about the techniques. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break here, and then we'll come back, and we'll find all about making ice cream with booze. It's Vox Pop. It's a Food Friday. We talk ice cream with Danny Mazursky and Matt Scott. 1-800-348-2551 is the number.
Support for WMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. Kern Compliance Services Incorporated, Greenwich, New York, and now in St. Paul, Minnesota. National compliance and regulatory consultants for the life insurance industry. KernCompliance.com. Northshire Bookstore, featuring author Joseph Luzzi discussing In a Dark Wood, What Dante Taught Me About Grief, Healing, and the Mysteries of Love, September 12th in Saratoga Springs at 5 p.m. And Landis Arboretum, Esperance, New York. Offering plant collections, hiking trails, gardens, and more, LandisArboretum.org, made possible by the Montgomery County Occupancy Tax, administered by the Montgomery County Board of Supervisors.
Vox Pop on WMC. Yeah, it's a party. 1-800-348-2551. Food Friday. We talk ice cream today with the guys from SoCo Creamery. Also, Flavio Lichtenthal is here from Number 6 Depot. And one of our great WMC staffers here, Fun Drive and Membership, Colleen O'Connell is here, who's also a screener from time to time on this program. We'll do a little taste test. What do you think, Colleen?
Awesome.
Okay, so We'll try first. There are three different Number 6 Depots. There is the Sumatra, the Brazil, and the Bali. Okay. And we're going to close your eyes, and they're going to guide your hand in, and we'll try a spoonful. Ready?
Ray, you sound like an expert already.
Here we go. Her eyes are not closed. All right, this is total sham. All right, go ahead. All right, that's the Sumatra, since you looked anyway. What do you think?
It's so delicious.
I mean, you can really taste the coffee, right?
Yes, yes. They're just so creamy. Yeah.
Okay, did you bring something to cleanse your palate?
I did not.
All right, we'll pretend you're doing that as well. All right, now try the Bali. All right, now I'm going to try the Brazil. Okay. This is my favorite. It's silky, isn't it?
Very deep. Yeah, it's delicious.
Can you taste the hints of cocoa there?
I can.
Okay. All right, one more to try. Yeah. And then I know you want the sorbet, so you can have that too.
Which one is this?
This is the Bali Blue Moon.
Mm. That's my favorite.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My favorite was the Brazil.
No, I like the third one.
Okay.
That's the beauty. You know, everybody has their favorites, and different flavors speak to people differently.
Okay,
especially
Colleen.
The coffees.
Before we kick you out of here, you get your choice. Now, this is lavender blueberry, maple bacon, vanilla, mission fig. You got the three coffees that you tried. This is mint. And little chocolate chips in there as well?
Yeah.
Matt, how do you make those chocolate chips?
So those, you'll notice that they're irregular in shape. So those are what's called an Italian-style chocolate chip, which is featured in a stracciatella gelato or ice cream. So it's made by by liquefying chocolate, rendering down chocolate, and then pouring it in the ice cream machine as it's freezing, and it tears apart the chocolate as it's shocked, but temperature-wise.
Wow. Sounds dangerous.
Yeah,
I'm going in.
She's going for that. And I thought you liked sorbet, too.
I do.
All right, you can have that as well.
I'll have that later.
Don't be afraid of the vanilla.
Mm. You know, there's no garlic in it. I don't want any part of it.
The mint is delicious. Isn't it? Very subtle.
Yeah.
Not overpowering, you know.
Yeah.
I love it.
He didn't bring the mojito, but he's going to do that next time.
Try the mango. I think you'll...
All right, the mango sorbet. Here we go.
It's a beautiful color.
Now, the difference between ice cream and sorbet is no dairy?
Yeah, sorbet is dairy-free, so it's just sugar, water, and fruit. So this particular mango sorbet, what makes it special is it uses the Rolls Royce of mangoes, which are Alfonso mangoes, which are grown only in India. So that's why it has that really rich color and a very, very bright flavor.
So the markup is pretty high when you dish these pints
out. Took me 2 years to find a source of Alfonso mangoes.
Yeah. Can you tell the difference, Colleen?
It's absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
It just tastes so pure.
So what's the difference between, okay, we know that there's no dairy. What's the difference between sherbet and sorbet?
So sherbet typically has some sort of dairy in it.
Okay.
So,
but not as much?
Yeah, not as much.
Interesting. Now, it's interesting that you said sherbet. We had ice cream makers on not too long ago at Adirondack Creamery, and they also said sherbet. But I always thought it was sherbet.
Yeah.
Danny?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. You know what? You guys are not very cooperative guests. This is not working out. Charles in Huntington, Mass. Charles, you're on.
Yes. I'm enjoying the program.
Thank you.
Back in the 50s, when I was in high school in Cincinnati, Ohio, worked for, like a lot of guys did, for Aglamisi's Ice Cream and Candy, all handmade ice cream.
Nice.
We would hand pack the pints and quarts and had to weigh them. A pint would weigh a pound, a quart would weigh 2 pounds. How much do their ice cream, how much is a weight a factor when you your ice cream?
So weight is indicates overrun. So less air means a heavier product,
obviously. So density.
Yeah, correct. So our pints weigh no less than 14 ounces, so not quite a pound. But that was the old rule with a premium ice cream years and years and years ago. Is a pint a pound? It was
the world around.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was. And we had to put it on the scale. Everything was hand packed with that big paddle and so forth. But okay, I was
hand packed too. You can when you hand pack, you can pack out some of the air too.
Ah,
you can really.
Yeah. So at our shop, you can purchase hand-packed pints. Yeah. So when you get a hand-packed pint at our shop, I'm sure it weighs more than a pound.
Interesting.
Definitely.
So that's the way to get your value then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Charles, thanks for the call.
You're very welcome. Enjoy the program.
And I enjoyed your call because I got to try the maple bacon finally. And it's just ridiculously good. I mean, that
tricky flavor.
A couple of food groups there. I mean, it's good stuff.
So the bacon in there, we actually candy by hand in our kitchen, which is one of my favorite tasks. Although at the end of the day, you stink like bacon, which is not necessarily.
Just stay away from neighborhood dogs, and you're good, right?
Totally.
Wow, that's really delicious, and you get the. It's not overpowering maple, but you, it's,
and maple syrups are not created equal.
No, the maple that we use is from Sweetbrook Farm. The proprietor's name is Pete. He's an excellent guy who's very helpful throughout this process. And I've tasted a lot of maple syrup, and I've never made an ice cream that was used such a flavorful syrup.
Mm, it's really delicious. Let's go back to our phone line and Polly in Kerhonkson. Polly, you're on.
Hi. Thanks, Ray, for taking the call.
Sure.
I have a question about sugar-free ice creams. Okay. All the ones that are commercially available use Splenda as the sweetener, which is just, I don't want to use Splenda.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for not swearing. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Does anyone ever use stevia to sweeten ice cream, or would that not enable it to get the right texture or something?
Yeah, my understanding is that there are ice creams out there that do use stevia.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just have to look. Any idea of brand names?
Yeah, I believe the name is Ice Cream.
ice cream. Okay.
I-S-K.
Okay. Oh, that would be lovely. I'd like to have a treat every once in a while.
Well, thanks, Polly. Appreciate it. I like the stevia, too. I tried some, not around here, oddly enough. You can't find it, but I found some diet soda with it up in Maine.
Oh.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah, stevia is great.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Over to Carla in Westfield, Mass. Carla, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm listening to your show.
Yeah.
About ice cream.
Yeah.
Garlic ice cream.
Yeah.
I went to a garlic festival in Vermont a long time ago.
How'd it go?
And I had garlic ice cream.
Was it good?
It was to die for.
Really? Was it sweet?
It was. It was in vanilla.
Okay.
And it was absolutely delicious.
Really? And tell us about the tech. Were there chunks of garlic in there?
There was chunks of garlic.
Really?
Yes. It was absolutely to die for.
Do you think
Go
ahead.
I haven't been able to find it since. I found it at the garlic festival, and that was it.
Do you think your taste buds were so dull from all the other garlic products that it just sort of, you just said, oh, yeah, well, it feels like ice cream.
No, because that was the first thing I had.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's
one. That was the first thing I had.
There goes that theory.
Well, you know, you got one person who didn't like it, and now one person who did. All right, fair enough.
It was to die for. If I could find it again, I would buy it every week instead of. I'm not saying what I buy now.
All right. Well, thanks, Carla. A lot of secrets on this show, Carla. Thanks a lot for the call.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. All right. You just put out another one, Matt. What is that?
I did. So this is one of our limited edition flavors that we ran this summer. It's lemon poppy ice cream.
Okay. Now, just so you know, once I eat this, I will fail the company drug test. All right? All right. They'll say you're doing heroin. Yeah. All right. Let's try it. Yeah.
What do you think of?
What do I think of?
Yeah. What?
Think of running through poppy fields in Afghanistan. No, I don't know. You taste some lemon there and... It's just, I don't know, what should I think? I think it's good ice cream.
Breakfast item, muffin-y, lemon poppy.
Oh, I don't eat those. Yeah, no, like a poppy muffin, no, I don't eat those. Yeah. But that I'd eat. That's really good. Hey, Flavio, have some ice cream. Come on, man. He sits over there, he doesn't say anything, and he doesn't even eat ice cream. Donahue, you want some? Come on in, man. Joe Donahue's in the control room. Yeah, he wants some.
I know, Joe.
Here's an email while Joe gets in here. Do they make gelato? Do you make gelato, I assume that means? What is the difference between that and ice cream?
So, we do make gelato, and there's a lot of differences. Typically, like a true Italian gelato is served at a much higher temperature, has a lower butterfat content, and it's never set all the way through. So it's super fresh. So it comes out of the machine, it goes in the serving thing. And like American ice cream, we freeze down all the way down to negative 20, and then it's suitable for shipping. Whereas Italian gelato comes right out of the machine, and it's eaten that day.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. While Donahue comes in, his handlers are in now, making sure the room is clear. And let's go over to Jane in Stamfordville. Jane.
Hi there.
Hi.
When mention was made that the mint was herbaceous, it brought to mind a lovely experience I had once in Rome with gelato, and the flavor was basil.
Really?
It was divine. So I just wanted to report that, in as much as my local Italian grocer, Terry Soko, and I hope to see basil.
Oh, my gosh. So there's another idea to steal, guys.
That's a good one.
Yeah, will you do it?
Sure.
And what about oregano?
Ooh.
Oregano ice cream? No?
Maybe
not.
Throw it in with the garlic. I mean, you never know.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Jane. Well, Donahue, what are you eating?
I'm eating maple bacon.
Yeah, of course.
I love their mission fig.
Which we haven't even touched yet.
That is really good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many ice creams and only one host. And actually, Jessica Blaustein Marshall is usually, when there's food, she's right here. And she's escaped. I think she took quite a bit of the dirty chocolate and just left. So anything else you want while you're here?
Sounds bad. But...
This looks good. Haven't tried that one yet. What is that? Is that another?
So that is one of our signature flavors. It's called Mexicali chocolate. So it's a lighter chocolate, but it's got a little bit of spice in it.
Okay,
it
what also, kind of spice? Chipotle?
No, it has cayenne.
Cayenne.
Takes 20 seconds. It takes 20 seconds to get the full profile.
Got cinnamon in that too?
Yeah. And yeah. It also has some mint and some coffee.
Wow.
Yeah, it's got a lot going
on. So this is one of your originals?
It's one of Danny's originals.
Yeah, I developed that about 24 years ago.
Dude, that's got some kick to it.
Right.
It really does.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
You just got it, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good flavor.
All right, I can't talk. Let's go back to the phones. Yeah. Matthew in Athens. Matthew.
Hi. My wife and I just got an electric ice cream maker, which we're old to crank. And
you and me both.
We tried. Yeah. I'm older than you.
Okay.
So we tried to make, our freezer is -5 degrees, so, you know, the temperature was fine for the tub. But we tried to use coconut milk rather than regular milk. And it came out more like a sorbet than an ice cream. It wasn't very creamy. Do you guys have any suggestions about what we could add to increase the creaminess?
Yeah. So using coconut milk to make ice cream, I would suggest that you add some coconut cream as well, because the more vegetable fat you get in there, the better chance you are of achieving a good ice cream-like texture.
Okay. I actually added pomegranate oil, but I guess I didn't add enough because I did want to increase the fat content.
Pomegranate oil? Really?
Try coconut. Yeah. Try coconut cream. Try a not like one of those cocktail mixer ones, but try like a real coconut cream concentrate, and it'll definitely improve the texture
and flavor.
Yeah, and flavor
and health benefits.
Yeah, I put in coconut flour, and I got a powdered coconut thickener from Whole Foods up in Albany. But would the coconut cream coagulate because it says you got to cool the mixture before putting it into the ice cream maker? Would that coagulate out at the top?
Not necessarily. So the cream concentrates that we use, we actually heat up so they become totally liquid and homogeneous, and then they're very carefully blended with dairy, so it doesn't chunk up. So you could use a blender for something like that and add it slowly, and you should get a homogeneous result.
Okay. Good luck, Matthew. We appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. What are you trying now, Joe Donahue?
Lavender. What is it? Lavender.
Lavender.
Blueberry.
Okay, yeah. So they get stuff from Hardy and Sons, the lavender, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And you steep it like you would steep a tea.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mix in the blueberry. Where do you get the blueberry?
We get the blueberries.
The compost.
Something.
What?
You've learned something.
He's an expert.
Yeah,
I gotta say.
Yeah.
We get our blueberries.
That.
Yeah.
We get our blueberries from Windy Hill Farm in Great Barrington.
Okay.
Mass.
And so you make it into some kind of a compote.
Yeah.
And then...
So yeah, we take the blueberries, we cook them down, and we blend them, and then we add honey and lemon zest, and some pectin, and bam.
It's pretty good, man. All right, let's go back to the phones. Donahue's still eating. Kirk in Mohawk Valley. Kirk.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. You got about 30 seconds.
Okay, I just have a comment to make. The best ice cream I ever had was in a suburb of Detroit called Southfield, and it was called Calder Brothers Dairy. I wonder if you folks ever heard of it.
Out in Detroit way?
I have not.
You know, back in the day, there were so many independent ice cream makers.
It's coming back.
They were really, they were the best, the creamiest and the best I ever had. That was my comment.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. I suggest you may want to try this. This is really good. I don't know what I like best. I mean, the bacon. If you make a chocolate peanut butter bacon next time, it might be something.
Sure.
Might be something really a big hit for you. All right, time for at least a call or two more. Let's go over to Timothy in Clinton Corners. Timothy, about 30 seconds, all right?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I wanted to comment to the lady who said she went to a garlic festival at Saugerties.
Yeah.
Or in Vermont, there's a garlic festival at Saugerties. I've only been listening for about 10 minutes.
Right, you are.
That you can get garlic ice cream there. I've also tried red bean ice cream or some kind of a red bean ice cream at Japanese food places, and I've also tried lavender ice cream, and it's really good.
Well, we have some lavender today, and it's delicious.
Oh, okay. I guess I should bring it in too late.
Yeah, lavender blueberry. Really good stuff.
Outstanding stuff.
Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think we're just about out of time here. 1-800-348-2551 is the number, but don't call, because we're done. I got to tell you, this was a fun show, and I'm really sugared up now, And
caffeine, sugar.
Attention all staff, get ready to pounce. Get ready to pounce. I want to thank Danny Mazursky and Matt Scott of SoCo Creamery. What's the website, guys?
SoCoCreamery.com.
Any dash or anything in there?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Another secret. Flavio, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you, Ray.
Enjoy the number 6 Depot. Great coffee and great collaboration with SoCo. Support for WAMC comes from Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete, available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, mannysoliveoil.com. And the Honest Weight Food Co-op, 100 Watervliet Avenue, Albany, New York, specializing in local and organic produce, natural groceries, fine cheeses, locally raised meats, and ready-to-go organic meals, honestweight.coop. Thanks again to Danny and Matt from SoCo and Flavio from Number 6 Depot. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who was the guy who was at the controls. And, Barb King answered the calls today. And Colleen O'Connell tasted, Joe Donahue tasted stuff. And you at home listened. You didn't taste, but I suggest you do that. Have a great weekend. Alan will be back Monday at 2 with Medical Monday.